Hi everyone, it's Aaron here at Zero to Fit Pro. So today we've got a special guest of Shane the Nuge, Quentin Tarantino Nugent's on. And he's going to give us all things around nutrition, his business as well, what he's doing, and hopefully give all PTs a great little insight into how to deal with growing a business, how to deal with adding nutrition into that and working well with clients as well. So you want to take a few seconds, mate, and introduce yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So are we going with the like film production business here, or are we going with the, it's the nutrition one, isn't it?
That we're talking about? Not the pornography one. Yeah, not that one.
No. Okay, cool. Come on. Bloody Quentin. Love it. Obviously I'm Shane, as you just heard. I own the company SJN Nutrition. We've been trading for, it's coming up to 5 years. I'm so rubbish with dates and birthdays and everything. I'm like, I don't even know how long we've been trading, but I'm sure it's coming up to about 5 years now. So we basically help thousands of people all over the world with their nutrition. So the clients get supported by our products and systems and our subscriptions, which basically we partner up with different fit pros all over the world so that we can work with their clients. And it works really well for everybody because obviously we're using our expertise, or I'd like to think expertise. We had this chat just before I jumped on, but you know, our expertise gets utilized, and obviously the PT doesn't have to do the nutrition themselves in a world where we don't know what the right thing to say is and recommend and advise. And how do you take clients through a step-by-step logical system so that all your clients can learn how to do this themselves and set them up for life rather than just handing them a meal plan, for example? We just do all that stuff for them, basically. So it's good for their business, good for the client as well, and obviously results-wise, and then good for us because we get to sort of fulfill our company vision and stuff like that. So, we'll go into a few bits and pieces in a bit more detail, I've no doubt, but in a nutshell, that's me.
Yeah. Brilliant. Because it's a major thing. I remember when I first started as a PT, I would literally say my knowledge of nutrition post qualification was pretty low. So someone ask you a question and it would be that old school favorite of, well, you shouldn't be eating carbs and blah blah. And luckily nowadays that's like a huge, like everyone knows now, I feel.
I think education's got a lot better. But again, this is the thing as well. Like, you know, it depends what you want to do with your business and what your role is within that business. Because, you know, if you want to do the nutrition, then go and do qualifications. You need to become qualified. It's an incredibly in-depth scientific subject. It isn't just working out macros and protein and stuff. It's much more than that. There's experts that have studied gut health or like even more specific stuff than that, like caffeine or something, and it assists with a million things or doesn't assist and is detrimental to a million other things. So there's so much stuff to learn out there, so we can't just do a weekend course or something and do. So if you want to do the nutrition yourself, like take it seriously, go all in on it. But then also there's this whole, you know, it's just a weird industry, the PT industry and fitness, fit pros in general, because, you know, nobody really approaches the nutrition matter because it's not a protected term. Anybody can just do a weekend course and call themselves a nutritionist. That doesn't necessarily mean that's how we should do things. So we're here to help anybody. Basically, if you want it taken care of for you, we can do that. And then if you want to do it yourself, you know, definitely go and study up, swat up on it 100%. So everybody can be sorted either way now. Whereas that option wasn't really available in the industry in general, apart from meal plans and recipes to share with clients and things like that, and done for you stuff like that. There's no real massively educational help them for life type stuff and done for you stuff. That's why we do what we do, basically.
So with the education side, obviously that's going to, it gives them more of a long-term approach, doesn't it? So they understand why they're actually doing something, you know, and this is, you know, I love Joe Wicks and the way he, you know, makes a positive impact in the world. But one thing that's missing through giving people meal ideas and this sort of thing is they don't understand why they're losing weight, or, you know, they just thought, I see, eat this meal, I lose weight. And it's a quick fix sort of, that sort of idea, isn't it?
Without a doubt. And I think this is the thing. I'm not saying what we do is correct and everybody else is incorrect. I'm not saying that for 1 minute, but because everybody has their place along that spectrum. So, you know, if you want to just like a quick meal plan or a quick, like, you know, batch of recipes or something like that, or whatever each month. That's fantastically valuable, by the way. Like, you can still, you know, keep your clients inspired with that sort of stuff, which is brilliant. And like I said, it does have its place. But then, you know, someone like Joe Wicks comes along, he probably does a bit more education, but it's still not like helping them understand from an evidence-based perspective for the rest of their lives or how to do this. So, and but is it Joe Wicks' job to do that? Because I don't think it is. I think it's his job to do what he's doing very well right now and have a general massive positive impact on the UK and probably globally, but certainly the UK. You know, he's helped more people than you or I probably combined in our whole lifetime. He's done that in a month. So, you know, he's doing all right as far as, like, is he giving a positive impact? But does he have to solve the problem of being overweight long term for life with people? I don't think so, you know. And I think that, you know, people like Joe and not just him, but other people too, get a bit of a bad rap, a bit of stick and stuff, and it's not really their job to do that. Whereas somebody like us, like me and my team of nutritionists, you know, incredibly well qualified, like that's our life, like our complete life is dedicated to that. To the point where I'm still studying right now, as in, like, I'm doing a PhD part-time imminently because I don't want to give up on learning more about an incredibly in-depth topic, which is nutrition and the millions of topics that go underneath that umbrella term. So, like, it is actually our job to be more helping people long-term, because it doesn't make sense for us to do a meal plan. It makes sense for us to educate people in a robust way, interact with the clients and help them step by step, each step of the way, long term, forever, basically. Obviously not help them forever, but I mean get set up forever. And of course, you know, deliver a fantastic service in and around that as well. So it's not just about the long term stuff. It's, you know, there's loads of topics in there as well, and loads of things for the business and for the client that we need to help with as well. So now everybody's got their, you know, if you want meal plans and recipes, there's people for that. If you want people that to, like, some people do just need a Kickstarter, like a 6 to 8 week program that changes their life. And they go, actually, that was incredible. The results I got were phenomenal. Okay, I really want to do this forever now. And then they might join, you know, a program like the Fit Pros that we work with, to work with us for maybe the next 6 to 12, maybe even more months. And be handheld in that period of time to set them up for life. So again, as I say, I think everybody's got their place based within that industry, I think.
Yeah, I think you're entirely right, absolutely, because you work to your strengths, isn't it? And as you further go through business, you start to realize, actually, I'm pretty crap at this end. Like, why should I try when I can just get someone else in to take over that role and do it at such a better standard? And if you're thinking about your clients as well, would you rather give them your half qualified standard, or would you rather give them someone who knows what they're talking about and can deliver the best possible service?
I totally agree, 100%. And I love topics like these, because I love this, the thing, right? So it's very difficult for me to define, like, which I love more. Is it nutrition, like the science of nutrition and learning, or is it business? Because they're totally different things. And again, I think the business edges it a little bit, and like nutrition is the vehicle that I choose to have a company, if that makes sense. I've always wanted to own a business, always. Even since I was little, I was playing, like, you know, like theme hospital and stuff. I wasn't playing FIFA. I was like, no, how do I create and build this thing? And like, and Age of Empires and stuff, and like weird strategy games. So even literally when I was little, I was more interested in stuff like that. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it has genuinely been building stuff, and how do I create like an empire of this, that, and the other, whatever that looks like. So yeah, that's you know, that's why that's where we go with that. But now, obviously, on topics like outsourcing and things, it's really interesting, because there's 100 jobs to do. And if you're a brand new PT in the industry, that I'm well aware, because I had to do this myself. I know I'm not a PT, but it's the same principle. Like, I still had to do all of the advertising myself, and the marketing, and the branding, and the posts, and the, you know, social media stuff, and the sales calls, and the emails, and the nutrition stuff, and the group calls with my clients, and blah, 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 and times that by 100. And I had to do all of that stuff. And no doubt, you know, anybody that's listening to this now, you'll probably be in a similar boat, or just before that, maybe coming into the industry, or just that maybe you've done this for a year already or something, but in and around there. And it's important to sort of at some point gauge what you're outstanding at, what you're brilliant at, and also what you love doing, and focus on the, you know, if those two things overlap, that's like your zone that you just need to zone in on completely, because you're the best at it and you love it. And let's be fair, you don't want to set up a company and do stuff you don't want to do. That's the weirdest.
You might as well get a job, mightn't you?
Exactly. You've left your job to do this, surely. You know, that's the whole inherent point of having a company, is you have the freedom to be happy and everything's on your terms and blah, blah, blah. So, and again, that's a process. That doesn't happen. You don't just hand your notice in the next day, you do what you want. Of course not. You actually have to do 50 times more work than at the job, because if you don't, like, somebody has to do it. You know, you can't just go, I didn't have time to do sales calls because I was doing the other 49 things. Well, you've not made any sales. You can't pay your bills. Like,
yeah.
But you know, so you have to just do them all and spin a million plates. So, but it's really interesting, definitely. And how to phase yourself out from doing all the stuff to doing a part of the stuff, maybe. And like, you're still loads of stuff you don't want to do, but it's better phasing yourself out. And then maybe after, it could be 6 months or a year or 2 years or whatever, probably about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, a bit more for me. Maybe a bit more, actually. Maybe 2.5 years ish, probably.
You're hopeless with dates.
Yeah, honestly, horrific. I'm just thinking, what was it? Yeah, but probably about 2.5 years, I'd say, 2 to 2.5 years. And then at that point, I could say, like, you know, at least 80% of the stuff is stuff that has been taken care of by somebody that's way better than me at it. It's not just me not doing stuff. That's not the point. As you quite rightly said, if I had to coach clients now and do the PT stuff, I'd be horrific. I don't know anything about PTing because I've not done any qualifications. I've not got any experience. I don't know anything. So if I did it myself, I'd have a crap PT section and a world-class nutrition section. It wouldn't work.
Yeah.
So therefore I'd get and enlist somebody like yourself to go and take care of the PT stuff. And then it brings that up to there. And I'm not doing that work, but it's twice as good. It's like, that's the whole point. Like, you know, it's not just about me not doing stuff. That's not the point. Point is, how do you deliver world-class service across the board to your clients? If you can do all 10 things world-class, I don't know who that is, but you know, you let me know who you are because I want to know about it. But like, you know, you've just got to find the 1, 2, 3 things that you're awesome at and focus on that. Gradually, once you've taken the plunge, phase yourself out into that, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's the main thing that everybody wants, really.
Because this is the one thing where people go wrong, is they don't think about the impact they're delivering and actually delivering at the very best level. So if you're not, like, being a PT is actually really easy. Get qualified is actually quite easy. But what differentiates you from PT A next to you and PT B in the same gym? You know, everyone can do a training program. Everyone can have a great personality and chat to people. But if you're charging the same price as someone else and you're offering world-class nutrition and a full team of people, you know, that's what differentiates you from everyone else. But obviously, you know, there's costs involved for that. And people get scared, like, oh, well, if I have to spend 100 quid a month on having this do this, you know, where am I getting that money from? Well, that pays itself, because that client then goes, God, I'm getting the best service ever. And then they compare their PT to the other person's PT. Like, oh, I don't get any of that. I just get like a PDF.
Just jump across.
yeah. I get a PDF and some funny YouTube video. That's me, yeah. when it comes to it, whether you've only got like 5 clients or you've got 200 clients, to have that extra service on, I think, is just, you know, phenomenal. And I've seen the stuff you deliver out for PTs, and it's, you know, it's so easy and effectively put into people's lives, which is fantastic. Problem though, as you're saying, with the industry, because there's no real oversight. You couldn't be a physio, right, and just go, ah, I'm going to physio people.
Yeah, I'll just do it a bit myself for a bit.
I'm going to be a dentist. I'm just opening up.
You know, I've brushed teeth a few times. How hard can it be? Like,
yeah. And so, you know, everyone's got their opinion of how it should be done, you know, and so it's not really the way it should be done, is it? So as a PT starting an industry, what would you fear is the best way they should start implementing nutrition, or what would you say is the best foundational terms for a PT to get started with it?
Again, it really depends, because there's loads of different variables at play. There's no real right one way of doing things there, because, you know, you could have kids, for example, and then so you're probably a bit more risk averse. You know, you're not going to jump in and go, let's sell the house and jump in. Like, your kids have got nowhere to live. Like, I'd be happy to live in my car if it means that at the end I get this incredible company or something. I'd do that, but that's not okay for my kids and my wife. So that's obviously, so what I'm saying is I respect everybody's variables personally too. So the thing is, we, again, it's like a game of chess almost. It's like, what move do you put first to basically make you win? Like, and you know, I think there's loads of stuff you have to do first yourself. So the sales and things like that. The problem, you know, you have to be good at sales. You have to be. There is, selling is inherently in everything, absolutely everything. So even like my PhD thing, so mine's a scholarship. So I had to apply with literally over 100 other applicants to do this scholarship, and there were 3 places. So I have to sell myself then, and there's no money involved. There's no transactions. It's just selling yourself. Why do you deserve this? It's the exact same thing. So you have to be awesome at selling. You know, business is making more sales than overheads, and you make a profit. So if you crap at selling, you're dead in the water before you begin. It doesn't matter how. This is another thing, like, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody here, and this applies to me too and my team. I don't care how good you are as a nutritionist or a PT. It's irrelevant if you can't sell. It, you know, the days are gone of like, I'm just be good at what you do and they'll come. Like, no, they won't. Because the problem is the shit PT around the corner that's got abs and he's excellent at marketing himself, he gets way more sales than you'll ever get. And he is 20 times worse than you at the actual product. That is, I don't like that. I'm not saying that's morally correct or anything like that, because it isn't. But that is life. That is the business world. So, you know, it is what it is. So you have to work with that. So number one is definitely get the sales head on 100%. I think number two as well is we have to think of things it's a difficult thing to do when you're starting out, things in value terms, not just cost. Because, you know, I'll give you an example. So my brother is honestly, he's like a world-class salesperson. Like, he's ridiculous. He works for a delivery company, a multi-billion pound delivery company. And he was number one in sales for one of the periods that he worked for them, which was probably about 2 years ago. He was number one out of all the salespeople in the UK. So it was like, he's ridiculously good. And he was like, he's only 20 odd years old. Again, dates and ages. I don't know what age he is, but anyway. So this is the thing. So with stuff like that, I'm just thinking, don't get me wrong, I'm excellent at sales. I know that. That's something I'm fantastic at. But I'm not world class like he is. There's no way I'm anywhere going to ever be as good as he is. Like, his track record is way better than mine. It's as simple as that. So he now works for the company. So I'm practicing what we preach here. My own brother is part of the company because, although I'm good at sales, it's something that I'm excellent at it, but I don't enjoy it. So, you know, okay, so you're going to have to do it for a bit because you're excellent at it, and it has to be done. And then the other stuff that you know, you gradually phase out, that sales has to be one of the last there, really, because you're good at it. So leave that to last to phase out. And then now, like, Aaron's involved and he's taking care of that for me. He's literally messaged me today that saying that he's made a sale and he's got another call later on today. And again, I'm on the podcast with you. So it's like, that's phenomenal stuff for me. Like, I'm so happy with that. But it's not just that. It's like, you know, Aaron has a very big cost because obviously we've got to pay him a full salary for that. So I'm well aware of that. But the thing is, you know, if he makes, you know, one sale a week and that's it, just one a week and that's it. So worst case scenario, like, a world-class salesperson should be making more than one sale a week. Just let me put that to you. Yeah. So let's just say worst case scenario, and that did happen. One a week, and for over a year, he makes 52 sales. Like, what's the average customer lifetime value? So if each customer's, you know, worth £1,000, which is, for us, is probably in around that, he's made £52,000 for the company in recurring revenue because we do subscriptions. So it's not as though they, you know, we build an extension and that's it. We've got to go and find another extension to build. Some of our clients have been with us for like 3 years. So that one client is actually worth 3,000 because they're with us on average for 3 years, that particular client. So what I'm saying is, like, yes, it's an overhead and there has to be a right time to do that. I couldn't have done that at the beginning. I've got no money. Like, I can't even afford to pay myself, let alone him and me. So yes, there's the cost, but it's, you have to see the value in things. You have to, because you're going to be this, and it is a little bit down to ego sometimes as well, where it's like, I'm the best at everything. Like, I don't need help. Like, no, you do. You're not the best at ads. You're not the best at selling and physio and calls and this, that. You're not the best at everything. You're the best at two or three things maximum. The other 97 things need to be, you need help with those things. Put a post up about that exact topic the other day. Right. You need help. Like, show me a billionaire that is a one-man company. Like, show me like an athlete that hasn't had help from a nutritionist or a coach or a physio or a taxi driver to get them to training or whatever. Like, everybody needs help with something to get that world-class level of goal achieved. Yeah. So get this thing out of your head. You are a bottleneck if you think you're good at doing everything yourself massively. Unless, by the way, you're happy with that. If you just want to just, you know, work for yourself and that's it and that's your goal, that's fine too, 100%. But again, there's inherent risks with that, because if you're ill, like we said just before we jumped on, like if you break your leg, what happens? Like, there's nobody doing anything. There's nothing. So if you're happy with that risk and you've got loads saved up or something, and that's negated to a certain extent, then that's fine too. Like, do what you need to do. But, you know, there's pros and cons to both things. It just depends on what you're wanting to achieve. But hopefully, anyway, without all this waffling on, like what you should do in the early days, you know, how do you decide what to do? Hopefully that helps a little bit and on the first steps, really. But sales definitely first, before everything. You get good at bloody sales. You own a business. You have to sell stuff to live and survive and put the food on your table and pay your mortgage or rent or whatever. So that's number one. And then number two, as you get the sales in, what you're going to do with these sales, like you have to understand the value of things. So if you can get a piece of software that can take care of 20 hours of work for you, and that software is £100 a month, let's say, fantastic. Like, how much should you be charging for your service? Is it £10 an hour? Right. Well, out of 20 hours, that's £200. So you know, you've saved £100 in value because that software is taking care of the stuff for you. So that's a net value gain. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's
extra time and everything to do those extra sales and then grow even more. And that's, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. People stick in a bottleneck thinking that they can only do it themselves.
Definitely.
And then they're stuck. They hit that ceiling and they can't progress. When it comes to sales though, and well, actually first, every potential new PT I speak to, and I say, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to be a PT? It's always a case of, well, I've done well. I look great. I feel great. I love fitness. And I just want to impact other people in a positive way and make a difference. That's always the bottom line of it. And people like that, just from my own experience, really struggle to sell because it's a dirty word. They feel like a car salesman.
Yeah.
And I've always said there's a difference between being really passionate about something and selling it, or being a really skillful salesperson. You know, the skillful salesperson's got all the tones, you know, when to speak, yeah, how to speak. And people would say, oh, Aaron, you're really good at sales, but I'm not good at sales for that reason. I'm good at sales because I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm selling and I know the impact and the value that's going to have in someone's life. So I don't feel bad about forcing someone across the line, because I know in 6 months' time they go, thank you very much, Aaron, because I really, really needed
the best thing I ever did. This is the other thing as well. Like, it's when you know you're not selling, like, I don't know, a radiator or something. Like, it just heats the house. That's it. Like, there's a million radiators. You can just Google one and get that installed. Right? You're literally changing people's lives. So there's one of my clients called Aggie, right? And this was when, so before we partnered up with companies and Fit Pros and doing all that stuff and schools and blah, 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 we worked one-to-one with clients in the early days. You know, that's what you do. I left my job. I have to make some sales and I just wanted to help people with nutrition. So that's what we did. And one of the first clients, probably in the first five clients I'd say we ever had, she's now, so she's lost all the weight and also she's a PT now herself, and she's become qualified and she's therefore helping hundreds of other people now. It's ridiculous. It's like, so going back to the value thing, how can you quantify that? Like I said, we're not buying a car or something. It's like, cars are valuable to a point. It gets you from A to B, and then how cool you want to look if it's a fancy car. Other than that, it doesn't do anything else.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. You're changing people's lives. So that can have a knock-on effect to to, you know, a better sex life or something. So therefore it helps with their relationships and it helps with their confidence at work, because all they're thinking of is like, I'm overweight. Everybody's looking at me. Or can they see my lumps and bumps and stuff? Like, you know, we've worked with thousands of people. We understand exactly what people, what are going through people's heads all day, every day, every single day of every week. So you do a presentation at work and it's crap because you're so underconfident. Whereas, you change your health, and not just how you look, by the way. I'm not just focused on that. That is important, by the way. We can't ignore that. But at the same time, you know, let's start off by boosting your energy levels. So you're not like rubbing your eyes and thinking, I just want to go home and sleep at 1 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not even halfway through the day. What's happening here? There's something wrong. Let's get their energy levels going. Better sleep quality, better nutrition, better energy levels go through the roof. And you go and you present like an absolute boss, like, yeah, happy days.
Yeah, exactly.
And
then, yeah.
And you know, that might change your work career. It might change. And again, you can extrapolate as much as you want. So it's very difficult. I don't want to sensationalize things without due credit. But the fact of the matter is, I have data where literally somebody who has been overweight has changed their life to that much of a level that they actually left their husband as well at the time, which I know that sounds really bad, but it's like nothing to do with us. We didn't advise that. But at the same time, they got the confidence to say, do you know what? I hate this relationship. And I've been putting up with it because I've seen myself as down here with you. And I'm not that anymore. I'm an incredible person that can do whatever they want. I've already achieved this. So what else can I achieve? And they're with somebody else, way happier. They've set up their own PT company, left their job, and they're impacting hundreds of people's lives. So what I'm saying is, it's not a dirty sales thing. It's your responsibility. It's your duty to help these people. It's your duty to understand how to convince people how good you are and how much you can change their lives. You know, if you're selling class A drugs, then fair enough, like, don't be doing that. But like, you're literally enhancing, completely changing people's lives. I don't understand why people like PTs aren't paid, you know, hundreds of thousands a month, let alone this like £10 an hour, £25 an hour thing, or whatever that is. Like, that, it's ridiculous. It genuinely is ridiculous how it's quantified, you know?
Yeah. People don't understand the value they're delivering to people. I mean, we, like you do, we have a company manifesto, and I was just flicking through it the other day, and you forget about some of the stats of the last couple of years, where I believe 1 in 8 people will have suicidal thoughts because they're unhappy about how they look or feel in themselves. And ultimately, that can only be changed by training, dieting, or getting some form of control over their habits and things, which we as coaches have the ability to do and help them do, because people are more adherent to things when they've got guidance, support, and accountability, right? Yeah. So, you know, you just have an impact on actually saving maybe one person's life. You know, I remember years ago having a conversation with this lady, and we were selling online subscription, exactly the same, training and nutrition, for 97 quid a month. I remember going, what's the worst thing that's going to happen to you if you don't make this change? One of her friends had just died. Obesity was a huge thing for her, and she had cancer as well. And she goes, I fear I may die. I said, well, you need to come on board and you have to do this. Oh, I'm not quite sure. What are you not sure about? You just told me you're going to
know.
And I remember literally having a go at this woman to make sure she actually did it. And she came on board. She lost 3 stone and she feels fantastic. And I do not feel guilty or bad about forcing that person to do something, because I've saved that woman's life in my eyes. And that's exactly how it is.
Definitely. And again, it's such a contentious issue, because, you know, like, you know, we have core principles of excellence, honesty, and integrity for our company and everything we do. So, you know, we should really conduct ourselves well in everything we do if you just do those things, basically. And integrity is obviously one of the big things for us. And again, I do understand that it is appropriate for the purpose of that person will not take action initially unless somebody takes action for them. Mm. And again, it is debatable. Where does that line get drawn, and what should you be doing, what shouldn't you be doing? I'm not, you know, we have to address that too. But I know, you know, if I didn't, for example, with my job, to leave my job, obviously, you know, saving your life's totally different. But my experience is like, you know, if like you said, if you don't leave your job now, what's going to happen? Are you going to be in it? And I would still be in that job now. I know I would, because I wouldn't have taken the business seriously enough, because I'm one of these people where if I'm going to lose my house and my family, it'll work. We will make it work 100%. Whereas if I you know, namby-pamby about with it and just go, well, let's phase ourselves out over a 6-month period and we'll just drop my hours down at work and increase the business a bit. And like, no, that business isn't going to become successful because you're not dedicating yourself to it. You're dedicating yourself 10% to it initially. You have to dedicate yourself 100% at all times. I'm not saying you can't set up a part-time business. I'm just saying this is how I work. I need to go all in on absolutely everything. Otherwise, it doesn't work. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely.
Whereas some people, actually, it's not the right thing to do to just leave your job overnight and phase. You could actually stay financially secure and phase yourself out and create the company. I'm not saying that can't be done either, just for me. So again, like, what type of person are you? Like, you know, you. So I had to be pushed. I had to be, because I was so cautious and I was like, oh, I don't know. I've never done anything
actually,
like this.
I actually remember, because I was on an event the day after the event that you were on in Bath. Yeah. And I remember someone coming in and going, convincing him to quit his fucking job. You what?
I never knew that. I never knew you were on the next day. That's incredible. Yeah, so you've literally been there from day one in that case.
Remember
literally
hearing
day one.
I remember seeing you write that, have the letter on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, that post comes up every single year. Oh man. Honestly, like, I literally handed my notice in that next day. So what happened? Again, it was a little bit shitty from the business coach's perspective, to be honest. You know, should that have happened? I don't know. But anyway, it turned out really well for me. But he literally wanted me to ring my boss and do it on the phone on stage. And I was like, I'm not doing that on a Saturday, ringing my boss up. Like, just for your inspirational video or something. You've got to have respect for people. I'm still going to work my notice.
This ain't Tony Robbins.
Like, yeah, yeah. Like, come on, lads. Let's do it. Definitely. I'm all in, but let's have respect for people too. My work has actually helped me massively. So whilst I was doing my master's degree, they let me have Wednesday mornings off if I made it up elsewhere in the company. They didn't let anybody else do that. And he wants me to get on the phone and go, tell him to stick it. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. So then I had to send a text to my missus, say I'm leaving my job. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'll do that then. If that's you, that's how I can satisfy you committing whilst I'm on stage, then that's fine. We'll do that. So I did that. Handed my notes in, worked my month's notice period and left on fantastic terms. And by the way, it's a good job I did do that, because we're moving into corporate wellness right now. So guess the first person we're going to contact.
Absolutely.
You do, you know what I mean?
Any bridges where possible.
No, ever. Like, unless they are just a knobhead, like, that's different. But yeah. Of course, like, do you know, you've got to stick up for yourself and do what you need to do. That's different. But, you know, 99% of the time, you can still do what you want to do anyway, but be respectful to people, you know. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, some people do need a push, and I did need that. I did need somebody to go, like, you know, that bungee jump thing. Of course everybody thinks they're going to splat on the floor. That's a normal human thing. You're not. You're absolutely not. You need something to push you sometimes. And some people do it themselves and take gradual steps and then jump. That's fine too, but whatever your way of doing it is, like, you need to, like, just make sure you do it and fulfill your potential in life, because, you know, again, it's very deep and, like, thoughtful and all that sort of stuff. And I, you know, I'm conscious of not being like a mindset guru or something here, but, like, all jokes aside, you know, when you're like 85, 90, however long we're going to live to, and you've literally got that last 10 minutes, and, like, you know, your best mate or your wife or your kids or something, they're going, what did you do with your life? Are you happy? Are you proud of what you achieved? Are you proud of this? If you're sat there saying no, that you have literally just led a pointless life. Like, honestly, that is, it's like so brutal, but it is what it is. You know, that can't happen. Like, that can't happen.
There is a different type of mindset for people who qualify as personal trainers or leaders in what they're doing. It's, I couldn't go through life just doing a normal 9-to-5 job and just conforming to what's happening. It just doesn't sit right with me. And I want to be able to turn around and say to my kids and my grandkids, oh, this is what I've done, and then show a positive role model to what they should be doing and delivering a great impact. So nothing to do with, you know, financially. Yeah, we're stable. We earn a good income. We don't need to earn millions of pounds to be happy. We should be able to live our life feel really comfortable with what we're delivering and, you know, congruent with what we're doing. And
definitely,
we're happy with that. And that's, you know, that's perfect. But some people in this world, their success is just to get through and just to survive. And, you know, if that makes them happy, then yeah, so be it. As you said, there's loads of different routes to go down, isn't there?
Definitely.
And as a business owner, we need some people who are actually going to sit there and do the job that we give them and say, look, can you, this is what I need you to do. And
yeah,
can you do that, please? Yeah, yeah, I'll do that. Sweet. Perfect.
That helps everybody. That person, again, it's all about your personal priorities. Like, I prioritize making sure that, you know, one of the biggest things is having the choice to do whatever I want, whenever I want. I know that sounds like a big kid going, no, I want it my way. It's not to do with that. It's just a case of like, I don't want like a business owner to say to me, the company's folding. So that therefore he can decide, or that company or something else, whatever it is, can decide whether I can pay my mortgage or not. Like, that's not, however, other people are actually like, no, I don't want, like, you know, X, Y, and Z. I just want to know that somebody else can provide a wage for me to be able to pay my mortgage, which is fine. But again, there's inherent risks to both. It's not the perfect way either way. You know, there's massive drawbacks for setting up your own business and having a massive successful business, which everybody, you know, ideally would, that wants to do that, should have, really, or aim for. But there's also inherent risks. Like I said, look at what's happening right now. How, if you're in a job and you've just been furloughed, or you've just been let go, or you've got 80%, that has been dictated to by you. By somebody else, not by you. The complete opposite. Yeah. By somebody else. So that's a problem. How do you make more money now? You can't decide. You can't. You know, you're just going to go and have to potter about and, like, you know, do people's gardens or what? I don't know. You're going to, you know, have to be creative or take a loan out or to go on benefits or something. I don't know. You know what? How can you protect your family and your bills and so for me, it's about, like, nobody dictates or decides anything for me. And again, not in a childish way. It's a case of, you know, if you know, like, my son needs some surgery that isn't covered on the NHS, I decide that it's not a problem. It's not, do you get what I mean? My financial situation is dictating to me whether I get my son an operation. I am not having that. No way. And again, that's only an example, of course, a hypothetical situation, but, you know, in full control of everything. So if that's my biggest goal, then I'm going all in. That's it. Whereas if your goal is genuinely just to be chilled and happy, you don't want, like, I don't know, you know, two fancy cars, you can just share one average one, and that's not your thing. Fair enough. Money's not your thing. Like, profit isn't your thing. That's fine. You know, just be an outstanding personal trainer and the best in the area, so that, you know, no matter what job you go into, you're going to be number. If anybody hears that you've left your job, the companies will be coming after you. You're that good. Like, there's nothing wrong with that too. So, you know, just as long as, like, you know, you're happy is the main thing.
Yeah.
Again, not to be too mindset-y, but it's pretty much the reason why everybody does everything. So, yeah. pretty important.
Yeah, so, like, stress. No matter if you're self-employed or employed, and I've been in both roles, it's like, well, you're always going to be stressed at some point. So I would rather be stressed on my own terms of what I'm stressed about, knowing I have control over what the outcome is going to be. If I work harder, if I get better at doing more sales, my stress diminishes. You know, my boss doesn't dictate how stressed I am.
Yeah.
When you were saying about, you know, either going all in or gradually, you know, breaking down and then going in, either way, that stressful point is going to appear. There's always going to be that fear of, oh, it's all going to go tits up here. Like, that's always going to be there, no matter if you set up a nice stable amount of income and then you decide to change. Because as a PT, you still think, oh, my clients could leave me tomorrow and I've got nothing. You know, so you might as well. I always feel you might as well just, if you've decided, just go for it. Because you can always get a job again. It's not hard, is it?
Yeah, don't forget, it can go tits up and you choose to get to the safe option. You get fired or the company goes down the pan. It's like, well, you may as well have gone for it then.
Yeah.
You're in the same position anyway, you know. So, you know, you have to weigh up all angles. And again, this is the scientific part of me coming up. You reason both sides of the argument and every aspect of both sides of the argument, come to a reasonable conclusion. Like, don't just say, oh, it's too risky. No, it's like, no, but so what's the upside of the risk? Have you considered that? What happens if you risk it and it goes well? You know, this is the thing. So one of the one of the things that like annoyed me so much, you know, when I was, you know, when I'd handed my notice in and I was working, it was an amazing music company, and they literally put music in stores. That's what I did. I put the music into the database. So, you know, when you walk in like H&M or B&Q or something, there's music in the background.
Yeah.
That store does that for companies worldwide. So it's a really cool job actually to have, whilst it was basically paying for my master's degree. That's it. Like I didn't want anything other than to just do that. And whilst I handed my notice in the tea room, everybody said the same thing. It's like, well, at least you've got your qualifications. If it doesn't go well, at least you've got your qualifications. I'm like, yes, I know that. Why is, out of 100 people who have said that, why is it not 50% of people saying, oh, well, at least if it doesn't go well, this is what happens? Why aren't the other 50% saying, well, at least if it goes really well, you'll do this, that, and the other? Like, why is that the case? And again, this is how humans think, the shit stuff all the time. And that's how your brain's conditioned to work, which is fine. It shouldn't be any different. It is what it is. But you can manually override that and start thinking, no, actively think about all options. And if it isn't a good thing for you to do, that's fine too. Nothing wrong with that. But as long as you don't come to that conclusion for a good reason and not just, oh, it's too risky and that's it. Or like, you know, I don't want to fail in front of my dad or something. Like, what if I risk it and it fails and my dad says, I told you so. So you're not risking fulfilling your potential in life because of your dad's opinion of you. Mental. Just get in and do it anyway. You know, don't worry about other people. So, you know, that's another thing as well, you know, to be considering. But again, I'm not trying to force people to leave their jobs either. Just be cautious both sides, definitely.
Be responsible.
Definitely, yeah. Responsible. Do the right thing, whatever the right thing is, you know.
Yeah. I mean, mindset. I know none of us really are qualified to be, you know, delivering any mindset stuff. But a lot of the time when it comes to even clients and nutrition, you have to, this is one thing I like really struggle with, is how would you sort of deal with training people nutritionally on a grand scale, but trying to individually mindfully like help them through it? So, you know, some people might go, all right, I can just do X, Y, and Z dead simply. And some people might go, oh, I need to phase that bit in and take their time because they've had trouble with dieting in the past and they've got an endless or eating disorder or, you know, or anything like that. So, you know, how do you sort of tackle that?
So again, with nutrition, it's inherently like intertwined with mindset as well. You know, it's like, you know, if you think of like your favorite meal, that will probably take you back to an amazing memory that you had with your family on your 18th birthday or something. It's like, do you get what I mean? It's that your emotions are tied into nutrition and food. If I have pizza, it takes me back to like being on holiday in Italy with my wife or something. Or do you get what I mean? Or like having a drink, like alcohol in the garden, and it makes you think, oh, I can remember my best mate stag do. That was such a good weekend. Blah, blah, blah. So it's not just nutrition and science. It affects everything, and the mindset affects the nutrition, the nutrition affects the mindset, the training affects the nutrition. It's like a dynamic thing. So you can't just do nutrition and not train, because you're going to lose the weight and your body's going to look not how you want it. So you might have dropped a number on a scale, but you need the training to make you look incredible and be at that healthy weight or whatever. But you also need to be in the zone mentally to be able to take any action. So it's like, well, what? So, you know, you can't not address it, because, you know, it's like selling a car and just selling the engine or something. It's like, well, no, we need everything. Can I have the whole thing, please? How we do it is we just think like, you know, every piece of advice that we give has to be safe, effective and sustainable. So the sustainable things probably doesn't apply too much to the mindset, maybe, but safe and effective, definitely. So is it actually going to cause an effect? Is it actually going to benefit anybody? So it has to be effective. And then obviously, you know, is it safe? Like, you know, could we, you know, if that person's suicidal or something, like, is it our place as a nutritionist to give them mindset advice? The answer is categorically no. You stay away from that, and that's final. Even if you, this is the problem, because I know in the real world, sometimes you can help people still. So if you just ignore the right thing to do on paper, you just go, no, but I could still help them and inspire them to do this, that, and the other. That's a difficult one. And I do get when people are tempted to do that, but we don't. That's just not our job. And we're confident that we've done the right thing in stuff like that. Now it's a spectrum. So, you know, a bit further back on that spectrum, can you get involved in a few bits and pieces? It's a bit of a gray area, but okay, as long as you've got very, very good reason to. And then there's obviously the complete opposite side of the spectrum, where it's like, of course you can try and inspire somebody or motivate somebody, or like, you know, you know, try and get their mind in the zone in terms of meal planning, for example. It's like, I don't want to do it. It's like, what, you don't want to have the best week of your life in the next week coming and get a fantastic result and literally like give a virtual high five to your trainer and your nutritionist, and then we share those results, and because of your results, you've inspired hundreds of other people to do the same. Right, what do you mean you don't want a meal plan? Right, you go again, you do this because this is what you signed up for. Sometimes you have to do stuff you don't want to do. That's it, like, get on with it. So there's the, you know, yes, there's stuff like that. Of course you can have that discussion, but it's just, if it's not going to be safe, I think, of course, if it's not going to be effective, don't get involved, of course. But, you know, I'm referring more to, like, in nutrition terms, like juice diets and things. And it's just, you know, we don't need to be doing stuff like that as adults in this day and age. So, you know, but yeah, so I think it is a difficult one. But again, it's the same as nutrition. You know, when does a PT get involved with nutrition? Of course you can say, this is how I eat. Or like, of course you can say, you know, chicken's a source of protein. It's not going to, you're not allowed to say that. That would be mental. Like, you know, you can't have that. Even if nutritionist does become a fully professionally protected term, you still can't not have access to that level of help. But yeah, obviously the further up that spectrum you go, the more and more inherent risk you get, and you just have to be happy that you've given the right advice and also done it safely, really. So again, it's not a very specific answer, but that's how we approach things, and just take everything on a case-by-case scenario. And you know, people have asked me for help and they genuinely are having serious problems at home and mental turmoil. And I've had to say, look, like, I know you like me and my work and how we do things, and I'm very positive with everything. Everything's optimistic and blah, blah, blah. And I know why you want help with that, but it's not my place to help you. And I can't help you with this. You need to see somebody who's suitably qualified to the level in the mindset or psychological or psychiatric side of things, or whatever side of things, to the same level we are in nutrition. You know, we can't be doing somebody else's expertise because we're not experts at it. So
yeah, I mean, we tell all our new PTs, you know, stick to what you can do yourself within the realms of your qualification, you know. So, you know, you help people on this side, that's what you do, and be really good at doing that. But as soon as you spread your field out to try and help everyone, you don't become any good. You spread too far, too thinly, and you're crap for everybody.
And you dilute your business.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that you have to think of it like everything I do, every single action that I take, it's like, is me helping, getting in, branching out into this other area over here, is that going to help me still carry on putting food on my little boy's plate? Because, like, yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but if you think of it like that, you take stuff seriously. So, you know, there's loads of stuff that we could do to make more money or something, but it's like, you know, do I want to be working 100 hours a day and never see my kids grow up? So you've got all this money, but you've not seen your kids grow up. Mm-hmm. So that's, for me, that's a no. I can't do that. That's not okay, you know.
You know, back to your point about goals, though, isn't it? So even with clients, you, someone wants to lose weight, but what does that actually look like to you? And you put a post on about it, I think, yesterday, didn't you? Where what's that goal look like to you? Why do you want to achieve it? What, you know, what's better about your life?
Sorry, I remember the post now. I was just thinking, which one? I put like 5 or 6 up a day, so I'm like, I can't remember what I said.
it was a more serious one, not like just a non
pineapple on pizza post. God almighty.
Yeah, so it was, and this is definitely what we always instill in people, is to understand why they're actually doing it. So when they've got something to celebrate when they get there, so they're always more happier, they've got more direction, more accountability as well, and they're not endlessly chasing a number on a scale, which keeps them in this loop. Because there are, I've got some clients who are, you know, 55, 60, for decades have been cycling through their weight, and they're never happy until they get to 60 kilos. I need to be 60 kilos. Yeah, but you're in the best shape of your life. You're fitter than ever. Your knees are not hurting you anymore. You look fantastic. Was that not what you wanted? Yeah, but I need to be 60 kilos.
And 65 kilos, but absolutely quality lean muscle tissue that makes you stronger, helps with endothelial function, heart problems, risks associated with cardiovascular disease. Oh, so that's irrelevant, but the number's relevant. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Crazy, you know.
And I think, you know, as PTs start, they worry about like trying to get everything specific, but looking at every individual number, and really, you know, even though we help people on a mass, we still want to help people individually, and you need to make sure you get that person's individual why, as you know, to, even I've even had people on, which is you know, they want to feel good, but they want to be that role model for their kids, so their kids don't have. And no, in this day and age with like social media and things, you know, kids have a real bad problem with body shape and image and stuff like that.
And we didn't have that growing up. So, you know, you did a bit, like, you know, obviously if somebody's a bit leaner than you and, you know, you're playing Sunday league football or something, the changing rooms, and you've got a little bit of moves going on. Somebody else has like got a proper alpha male with abs. There's a bit of that goes on. But like you say, kids get that 1,000 times a day if they're not careful.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think as parents, you know, you and me, it's our responsibility to make sure that we deliver a great role model. You know, we don't deal with juicing diets or things like that because it's not sustainable. And I know you mentioned that it may not touch on the mindset side, but because it isn't sustainable, it gives people a poor concept of food, and it gives them you know, their kids are put, oh, my mum just drinks this juice diet, and therefore, you know, that's how she looks good, and that's what I need to do. And it's like, fucking well, I don't think so. You know, you're giving your kid an issue later down the line, I feel.
Again, it's like, you know, it just takes a bit of time to get the help the client get their mind around it as well, because like you say, social media and the news and gossip columns and you know, daytime programs, you know, there was what was it today that I heard?
It was it's
Adele,
a diet secrets of Adele. I didn't hear, but I wanted to watch what it was.
But what was it? I think she's done some sort of like, I don't know if it was like a vegan type diet, but a moderated vegan diet where they had food, you know, extra animal products in there, just bits and pieces or something like that. And she's lost this weight. And it's like, you know, it's not the point what Adele did. It doesn't, you know, Adele's a multi-millionaire. She probably, you know, had a personal trainer come to her house 4 times a day or something. Like, it's not, don't forget about what everybody else is doing. It doesn't even matter what Jeanette in the office 2 meters away from you is doing, because they might be doing a ketogenic diet and that would be the worst thing in the world for you. Somebody told me to go on a low carb diet, I'd throw a chair at them because I can't have pizza. Straight, I'm not doing it. So I don't care what you're doing. I want what's best for me. No matter how strange that looks to everybody else, I'm not interested in anybody else's opinion. And that's final. You know, as soon as you get to that way of thinking, and also that it's long term, the media is so responsible for people's shitty relationship with a long term and difficult process. That, by the way, my research is in weight loss. My research is literally with it. Can a vegan diet be used as an intervention for people who are overweight and obese? I'm not a vegan or anything. We're just like investigating that. That's our topic. But even me, who's dedicated my life to this, basically on the business and the research side of things and education side of things, we still don't have an answer. So you know, just to see Adele with a before and after picture doesn't go, oh, that's what the world should do. It doesn't work like that. You're trivializing a very complex, multifaceted problem. Mm-hmm. So you know, we need to treat it as so for you to therefore conquer it. You know, if you're trying to, you know, climb a mountain, like, you have to treat the problem as climbing a mountain and do it in phases. And like, how do you get to base camp? How do you get to camp two? And blah. And it's a progressive journey that needs assessing as such in stages along that period. So if you treat it like a juice cleanse, then you will get juice cleansed results.
Yeah.
You know, it, you as in none. You might, by the way, you might lose a bit of weight today, but again, goes back to, are you wanting to get a number on some scales lower, or you want to change your life? Because there's sometimes different things, because I'm, you know, not to put it in too gruesome terms, but of course you can put some juice in your body and go to the toilet a lot for the next couple of days and lose, you know, 2-3 kilograms or something or whatever. Of course you can do that. It's not about the number. It's a bit about the number, because you can't, you know, you lose weight, you are going to lose weight, obviously, but it's not about that specific. That's not the goal. The goal is health and strength and fitness and be a role model. And like, so whatever range, not number, range that falls in for you, then fantastic. Like, aim for somewhere in there. It's not like, seriously, what are, so you're saying 60 kilograms. So is 60.5 kilograms a problem for you?
Yeah, that's what.
Or 59.5. Like, so you go, oh crap, I need to put a pound on. Like, why? What we do? Why?
I'm unhealthy now. I'm below 60.
Yeah, kilos. you were healthy 15 minutes ago, but you had like that cup of tea which tipped you over on the weight scale. Mental, like you don't have to do that.
I think, you know, when you're talking to clients as well, and you find out their goal at the end of it, they want to be able to enjoy themselves, be full of energy, look great. They want to be able to eat normally and do all these things. But if you have to say, right, you need to drink this juice cleanse every day, and yeah, that's all you can have, and you will stay at 60 kilos, I think some people would say, ah, nah, I'm all right, actually. I'll do it for a week, though. I'll do it for a week.
So, again, you know, what, for my master's research, basically, I worked with a boxer, and he literally did have to lose weight, as in he had to make a weight so he could go in the ring and punch the other guy in the head harder than he's hitting him. So obviously there's other physiological factors we need to take care of as well at the same time. So yes, he does need to lose weight. That's fine. Some people do need to lose weight, but you're not a professional boxer. So you will probably lose weight as part of the process, but whilst you're becoming a role model to your kids and avoiding the risk of type 2 diabetes that runs in your family, and also being alive so that you can provide for your family, which is pretty important, I dare say. What were your family going to do if you lead an unhealthy life and have a heart attack as a result and die? That, and again, it's very, very, I don't want to like say sensationalized stuff for no reason. That is a genuine, you know, like 67% of the UK is classed as overweight or obese.
Yeah.
67%. So it's a genuine problem. We need to assess it as such. What are the disadvantages of being obese? Early onset of heart attack risk, death, morbidity. Like it's we have to treat it as such. That's,
you can't skim around the issue.
No.
As you say, in your core values, you've got to be honest with people.
Yeah.
Know, otherwise they just, you know, they get like it's going to be okay. Yeah. No, it's not going to be okay if you carry on.
But again, so, you know, I don't get me wrong, like, you know, it's difficult. So I've had my publication deadline recently, and it came out of the blue out of nowhere. So I have had to literally, you know, as we chatted about earlier, in 24 hours, I worked for 23 of those, 22 of those hours. And it was just ridiculous. It was I literally went to sleep for a couple of hours or a few hours or whatever it was and got straight back to it. Like, yes, that's crap, but it's like you've got, you know, you have to treat the problem as it needs. If I tried to do this inspirational, I'll probably just get it done in a couple of hours. You're not going to meet your I wouldn't have met that deadline. You have to treat it like a mountain to overcome the hurdles that a mountain you face along the way of, you know, traversing a mountain or whatever. Like, you can't stop trivializing things.
I guess
don't listen to the media at all. Just don't listen to them.
You know, when you've got client, like, so I've got a client who's gone to Everest, him and his wife. And when they tell you the story, it's the story of every point up that mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, this has happened here, all the ice walls and all this sort of stuff. And you're listening, and that's the bit you love. They didn't summit Everest, but, you know, everything builds up to that point of summiting Everest.
Yeah.
But actually, the summit is just the summit, and the rest is where all that, you know, magic is. You're like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. Yeah.
It's like it can be an incredible journey, not just an incredible result.
Yeah. You know? And as a PT, you've or a nutritionist or a dietitian or whatever, you've got the ability to have that, to design that journey for someone and make it like amazing for them to actually change their world and say, actually, yeah, this is the way to do it now. Doesn't matter what Karen says up the road, you know, like,
yeah.
I remember seeing a post about someone who, I can't remember, I'm probably going to ruin it now because they didn't really put it properly, but they shave, you know, Dave up the road cuts hair. He cuts everyone's hair the same. This is like quarantine cut now. You know, everyone's not happy because I didn't want the hair cut like that. So I'm still not happy. Same thing with diets, isn't it? Oh, well, Steve, the diet, the PT does a ketogenic diet, and that's what everyone does, but people still aren't happy with it. So
I know, not everybody needs the same pair of shoes or the same car to get to where people have preferences and different needs. So you have to personalize things for people. It's as simple as that. But yeah, you know, it's okay. One of the big things is it's okay to be, it's incredibly important to focus on the client side of things and fulfilling their goals and what they want to achieve and genuinely changing their lives and being impactful to that level. That's important. But the other thing is as well, is make sure that when you're running the business that creates that result, that your life isn't negatively impacted. You know, it's ridiculous that, you know, okay, so let's say if I haven't gone to the gym in a year because I literally haven't got time because I'm helping people go to the gym. It's like, you need to look after yourself too. And also that means financially and the time you spend at work and factoring in, you know, if I was single now and I wasn't married and I didn't have a little boy and another little boy on the way and a pregnant wife right now and that needs help and stuff, I probably wouldn't be living here. I probably would be like just, I don't know, in a penthouse or something in London and just working every day and every hour. And it's not because it's work. It's just because it's like, well, that's what I would fill my time with. And yeah. I don't get this time off thing at all. You know, it's like, if I need time off, I'll have it. That's fine. But I don't need it. I don't need, you know, just because everybody goes on holiday once a year. It's like, well, what if I want to go on holiday six times or none? Like, I'll just choose what I want to. And why do we work weekends? Not work weekends. Why is that? It's just another day. Like, by the way, if you don't want to work weekends, that's fine too. I'm just saying, like, you know, so, you know, my life would like look totally different and my priorities would be different, but I've set the company up in a way that works around how I want things done. Jade is literally going to give birth to my second child in 2.5 months-ish. That is happening whether I like it or not. So if my business isn't set up to work around that, I have a problem, should we say. So that is not, so again, it's like that leaving your job thing. It's like, you know, I left my job. The situation is here. Solve it. You have to solve it. So if you don't solve it, you're not going to be there for your wife and your son, or the business is going to implode when you just go, nope, sorry, I'm taking a week off. I need to be there for my family, or 3 weeks, or whatever's needed. The business dies then. Like, so it's like, you know, you can't have that. You have to solve that problem and also have it your way as well as the client's way. Not just this noble thing of, I work 17 hours a minute just to make sure that my clients are helped. It's like, well, that's very good. You're literally leading a life that you wouldn't advise to your clients.
Yeah.
That's mental. So, you know, I'm not saying that people who start up, like I said, you have to do loads of work at the, I get that. That's, you have to do what you have to do. But at some point, you have to have the balance for you and for them, and not just for them, you know, from a business sense. So that's one of the biggest things that you know, and it inspires you to do more and better work.
Yeah.
You know, so you can help more people doing it that way. Not
that. I think you're definitely right. But don't you have to go through the trenches of that? You have to be aware that actually, oh yeah, actually, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing it like this. But the quicker you can be aware of it and change it, the better. But I feel like you still have to go through it.
Definitely. But you know, you have to fall off your bike to go, that was crap. I'm really going to try much harder to not fall off my bike because it was sore. Like, if it's not sore, you're not going to be motivated to not do that again.
Yeah.
So if you know, if you set up a business and it fails, that motivates you more to do things better and differently the second time. It's not, you know, the challenges and the problems are an inherent part of the journey. So avoiding problems, obviously, it's a good thing to do, of course. Don't, like, just have loads of problems. Don't do that. But the challenges that you have and solving them and what you learn from that, you know, like, we were working with clients where I had about 40 something clients, I think there was, that I was working with either one-to-one or in a group setting, and a PT messaged me, who we had a similar business mentor, and said, hey buddy, do you fancy, like, we'll pay you and we'll just drop in our group, you could be our nutrition advisor and they could just ask you questions and stuff. And like, that's literally how my business started and how it is today, one message from that one person. And then the problem I had then was, I said, yeah, of course, definitely, how many clients have you got? 60. I was like, but I'm working every hour of every day for 40. So you want me to do 2 days worth of work in a day? But so the point is, you've just got to question everything. You people sit there and go, it's impossible to help 100 clients. It's impossible. Tesco's is helping millions of people a day get food to their door. So it is possible to do stuff en masse. It is possible. So how did they do that? And what's the nutrition version of that? And that's literally what we do now. Like, that's literally what we do now. So, you know, you know, just think about every single problem as it comes up and try and solve it as best you can. That 100%, it's got to be done, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And no matter where you are on your journey, whether you train people one-to-one or whatever, there's always going to be a problem and you just have to find a solution. You just have to.
Yeah. It's just the problems are part of that journey. It's like, it's completely necessary to have that. If you have it easy the whole time, you're not learning anything. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You've got a big problem coming soon if you haven't had any problems yet. So
I don't know what you've been doing. What have you been doing? We've all got one now, haven't we? Well, you don't. You're doing all right, aren't you? Just doing it all. So do you have any, like, it's a hard question this for people, but do you have any pearls, like a one pearl of wisdom you would give a brand new trainer to the industry or anyone who's starting their fitness business up? What pearl of wisdom would you give?
Definitely. So be as selfish as physically possible, right? So that, I know that sounds very horrible, but it's not. It is not selfish to be selfish. The definition of selfish is a negative thing, and it's just, it shouldn't be. Because this is the problem we have, like, it relates to what I've said already. If you're creating a business, you want it, but it's not, it's generally probably not because you want a Maserati or something. You know, it's not because of that. That's like a client saying, I want to be 60 kilograms, like we said earlier on. Look, if you know, if you have the Maserati or not, it's not the point. The point is that you want to put a roof over your family's head. It's also, it's not just that either. So for me, it's like, you know, as my kids grow up and they go, oh, I'm so scared of, like, you know, becoming a manager at Tesco's or being a lawyer or what, I don't, whatever they want to do, or being a footballer or something, or like, I need them to see that I've completely and utterly dedicated my life, and I have, to jumping off cliffs to seek to test things and make sure so that they're set up properly, and they need to do the same for their kids. Do you get what I mean? So we're not doing this bullshit, we're just going to die and have a crap life thing. That's absolutely not going to happen. And everybody, you know, there's lots of people out there that are moaning at external things and pointing the finger outwards instead of like, no, you should be taking the bull by the horns here. It's nothing to do with Tesco's not paying enough money. It's because you chose to accept a job at that hourly rate. You can't moan now you've accepted that was your fault. You know, it's as simple as that. So be selfish and just think, you know, if you clearly define your goals and have it very specific, like, you know, for my son, for my second son on the way, my wife, like all those important things, you know, working till stupid o'clock at night is just, it's not easy, but it's like, you do get it done though, because it's a genuinely, it's I'm doing this for me and my wife and my kids. I'm not doing this just because I want a car. I just go, well, you could just not have the car. Brilliant. So there you don't do it then.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's a crap goal. It's like, it's not a serious goal. So yeah, I think the biggest thing is like, if you could, again, not to be inspirational guru-y, but genuinely, this is like, you know, you need to factor this in. What does your day look like, and how do you want your day to look in a year's time or 3 or 5 years time if you're starting out, or everybody's different, but like, how does that look? So for me, like I want to build my own house, because it's like me being a man and like building my castle for my family and protecting them. And that's our little fort that I've created, and I've made the business do that. To get to that result, and also inspired my kids along the way and taking the hard route and done a PhD and run a company at the same time. And people don't generally do that. But what I'm saying is I've taken the hard route and displayed that myself for my son to grow up, because he'll learn from that and be inspired by that. So when things get difficult, it's like, yeah, but look what dad did. Like, this is a tenth of that. So you can definitely do that. Whereas if I hadn't have done what I do now, he'd have probably left it there and gone, that's too difficult, I'm not going to do that, whatever it is, whether it's an exam or, you know, asking a woman out or something. I don't know whatever it is, like he's inspired to be able to do that stuff. So for me, that literally has a domino effect for everything, absolutely everything. You know, if somebody asks me to do a project, like a new sale comes in, they say, do you want to do this? Do you want to get involved with this project? And they say, but you're going to have to dedicate yourself for 6 months and not see your family because we're flying you out to Florida. No, I don't care. You could pay me £1 million a day and I won't do it. It's as simple as that, because that's not my priority list. Money isn't the priority. It is further down the list, definitely, but I'm missing out on my kids growing up for 6 months. Planet you on. It's not happening. But again, that's my priorities, but that therefore dictates the success of everything that we do, because you've clearly defined very personal goals that mean something to you. So by being selfish, you will actually be able to create a company that helps millions of people, maybe instead of 10 or 40 or 50. It's okay working through the night and stuff and doing that noble thing of I work hard, and like, you need to work smart, not hard, because then you could help 1,000 people. And the way you're doing things this noble way is worse than if you learn how to help more people. So you're actually helping more people the other way. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, yeah.
Perfect. No, I love it. No, it's, you're absolutely right. And it's something that's a lesson that needs to be learned quickly. Otherwise you become stagnant and you'll just take you longer to grow and progress. So no, thank you so much for today, Shane. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Really great pearls of wisdom. And it's great to see everything that you're doing as well, because I see it day in, day out with great
pizza posts.
Yeah, great photos of food and everything. I've tried competing on the old food front and I just can't get the angles right on my photos.
I'm awesome at Instagram filters. That's where you're missing out. You need to get better at Instagram. Don't forget about actually producing good food. Just pile it on, slap it on, and get your filters sorted. You'll be all right.
That's what the integrity boils down to.
Integrity.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, mate, and I really appreciate it.
No worries at all. You know, if you need anything, any help at all, or anybody watching this needs any help, I'm literally only a message away. You know, I reached out loads and loads when I first started out. I literally got help from anybody I could, and I understand that. So more than happy to help anybody in any way we can.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Happy days.